Baruch Hashem, we've just concluded Beitza Daf Mem. We've concluded Meseches Beitza, and a fascinating halacha topic, which relates to one of the most basic themes of the Masechta, the theme of Mukta, is a topic of animals and pets and their status vis-a-vis Mukta. One general point about Mukta: I have a theory that the Rif leaves the most dominant themes of a Masechta for the end of the Masechta. So too over here, in our Maseches, one of the most dominant themes in Maseches Beitza is the sugya of Mukta, and the Rif discusses it in the end of Maseches Beitza. You have this in Gittin, where the Rif waits to discuss Eide Mesira Karsi or Eide Chasima Karsi. You have it in Ksubis, in the sugya of Ksuba Doraisa or Ksuba Derabanan. The topic of Mukta for animals is a fascinating one, and it's appropriate that the Rif concludes the Masechta with that discussion, as well as a broader discussion of Mukta. And in the past, in our Shiurim, in the Gris Kolal, we've discussed Halacha Lamaisa, the status of pets today, starting from the beginning of the Sugyas from Masecha Shabbos, as well as we can now add from Maseches Beitza on Daf Mem. What seems to emerge is the only animals that one is allowed to move on Yom Tov are those animals that you intended to shecht beforehand. So those animals could be moved on Yom Tov. Mashma, we could deduce that all other animals will be considered mukta. What is the status, bizman hazeh, in regards to animals? Are pets any different? So this is a large part of the shir that I've attached. Topic of Daf Mem and Maseches Beitza is pets and animals vis-a-vis Hilchos Mukta, as we discussed in Simin Shin Ches in Hilchos Shabbos.
Messier than usual, but we're wrapping up Simin Shin Ches. Wrapping up Shin Ches, and we have assorted topics in regard to some fascinating nekudos, I think, that are going to come out. Less lomdus today, more a little bit of practical issues that come out from the end of Shin Ches, and you have a list of some of the things above. Let's take a look. We are up to Simin Shin Ches Siv Mem, and the topic is animals. Here is a case where I think most of you know that I'm not by nature very liberal, but I think that in this instance, the halacha really has changed, and I haven't seen shailos u'tshuvos that really deal with the new metzius that exists today. So let's take a look in Simin Shin Chatzif Mem. Kol behema chayiv of midadim osam bechotzer. All animals you're allowed to nudge along in a courtyard. The hainu she'ochei bitzavaram, you could grab them by their shoulders ubetzadim malichan. If the animals need it, we're going to see in a moment what that means. With the condition that you can't lift the animal above the ground, the muktzim heim also metaltlim. They're muktzim and they can't be metaltlim. So this you have in your photocopy about the third page. We'll leave the tarnigolos outside because right now it's really not relevant too much. Although I'll just start off with, did I tell you the humorous, I might have mentioned it last week, so I'm not going to repeat again. My father with the chickens in Vancouver, in Saskatchewan. So my father grew up in Saskatchewan, as you have mentioned to the past. His parents were, he was growing up in the gloom of the Holocaust. And my grandfather survived as a shochet. My grandfather was a successful businessman in Europe. But the way he got into Canada was he offered to be a shochet for Jewish farming communities. Baron Hirsch, the fascinating man, he was a big, big philanthropist. There were two major philanthropists in the world who supported many, many Jewish causes in the 20s and the 30s, and they were Baron Hirsch and Baron Rothschild. Baron Rothschild was an ardent Zionist, and he invested in Eretz Yisrael. And to this day, Rothschild has the zechuyos of building Eretz Yisrael. Baron Hirsch thought it wasn't going to work. He said, "There's no way they're going to make Palestine bloom." But he wanted to help Jews, so what he did was he built the exact same farming communities of the kibbutzim throughout Israel. He did it throughout the United States and Canada. And one, and now all of them have disappeared. None of them are left. But there are hundreds, tens of thousands of Jews that worked on those farming communities. My father, my grandfather was a shochet in one of those farming communities, even though many of the people weren't Shomer Shabbos, but they still, in those days, there were people that were makdish food.
What kind of farms?
It was both cattle and wheat fields. And
wheat fields. In upstate New York, there's a lot of chicken farms.
Nahon, also, and Pennsylvania, there still is a town not far from where Hershey is, and where the Hershey factory is. There's a town called Hirsch, which was named after this fellow, Baron Hirsch, which was a Jewish farming community. Anyhow, this is really these halachos between the change of the mitzvahs in those times to today. To my grandfather, the idea of animals being pets or anything like that was entirely foreign to him. In Europe, no one had an animal as a pet. My father said as a child, he used to go out and play with the chickens. There was one chicken that he actually got attached to, that he enjoyed. He had his favorite chicken. And he asked my grandfather, what happened to the chickens? Eventually my grandfather took them to Schlachthof and he killed them. My father knew it. So he asked my grandfather not to shech that chicken. And what happened? One day my grandfather was in a different world. He didn't pay attention. You know, to him all the chickens were the same. Eventually. So one time my father came home from school, from public school, and the chicken was gone. That's the story. Why do I start off with that story? Because actually that gap, that generational gap, is going to be possibly critical as well in this halacha. Let's go to question number one. Are animals muktzah? So, if you start off with the Shulchan Aruch, the answer is yes, based on a Rashi and a Gemara. Now, my job is not to say shir on the Gemara. If you take a look in the Gemara on Kuf Chaf Chesam Abeis, the Gemara is complicated in terms of what the Gemara is driving at. The Gemara has these halachos in the Mishnah in regards to moving animals along. And particularly, the Gemara sells this out 5 lines in to the wide and Kuf Chaf Chesam Abeis, where you have this Braisa Midadim Behema Chayvav Techatzer. Now, by the way, Vamevin Yavin, you could have read this entire Gemara as talking about carrying in a Rishus HaRabim. However, it's not how Rashi understands it. If you take a look at Rashi, Dibra Amaskel Ein Okrin, Rashi says, Ein Rokun Lagel Lagamri Min Haaretz, Demuktzahila Taltala, you're not allowed to lift the animal above the ground because of the problem of tiltal. Oh. So Rashi says that the problem over here is tiltal. Now, according to Rashi, we actually would have, if we went with Rashi, if Rashi won the day, I always emphasize to the Shana Ben and Shana Gimel guys that the Shulchan Aruch would look very, very different according to Rashi. It's so fascinating. The greatest of all the Rishonim, maybe second to Rambam, depends on your leaning, who you're going to choose, Rashi or the Rambam, but for sure, 1-2, that's the championship. So, for sure, 1-2. But the irony of ironies is that the first Rishon to go in Halacha tends to be Rashi. That's the power of the Bali Tosis. When you have 300 Bali Tosis that are all ganging on their grandfather, that's what happens. The first Rishon that disappears Halacha is Rashi. In this case as well, Rashi is not followed Halacha. If we follow Rashi Halacha, what would emerge is that you would be allowed to move a pet as long as you didn't lift it up entirely. As long as you didn't lift it up entirely, it would be permissible. We're going to see that the Ran, as quoted by the Beis Yosef on the next page, it's a little confusing the layout over here. The Beis Yosef we're normally used to on the inside, so you just have to sort of move it over, but you have the Beis Yosef in Mem. The Beis Yosef quotes Rashi and then he quotes a Ran. And the Ran asks a fascinating kasha on Rashi. Now this question is answerable, like many things in the Iyun. Once you spend time, you could definitely be Miyashiv Rashi. But the Ran comes along, and the Ran wins the day. What happened here was, the Ran blew, had a couple of questions, and the Rishonim were so enamored by the Ran's argument, the later Rishonim, that the Ran won the day, and almost all the other Shitas in the Gemara were almost entirely forgotten in Lahalacha. And that is the following. The Ran asks the following Kasha and Rashi. It can't be the Pshat in the Gemara. Because, says the Ran, Mali tiltal b'miktsas, mali tiltal b'kula. Says the Ran, at the end of the day, if you're metaltal a little, you're metaltal a lot, that is called tiltal. I could definitely envision Rav Salvechik developing a chiluk between the two. One could definitely be miyashiv Rashi. There's definitely room to be miyashiv Rashi. That should be done. But meidach gisa, that is what the Beis Yosef quotes. And what emerges is that we have the shita of the Ran that says, no, you're not allowed to be metakel an animal, whether you're being mode the animal or not. Whether you're nudging it along a little, or you pick it up entirely. Mali talta mitzas, mali talta bekuda. But what's the Ran going to do with the Gemara? So now let's look back into the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch adds a couple of words that don't appear in the Gemara, and this is all inspired by the Ran. And this is how the Mishnah Brura understood the Mechaber. The Mechaber adds the following words: Kol beim achay vof medan mosa bechatzer, dehainu sheochis bitzavara metzadadu malichon, im tzrichim balechayim lekach, if the animals need it. Oh, if the animals need it, it's no longer, I tease my sister in Cleveland, that I have four nephews and one niece. Three of the nephews are boys, one of them is a dog, and then he's an integral part of the family, and I enjoy him too. I don't know, I didn't grow up with it, and it was also generational change, but im tzrichim ha-balechayim lekach, only if the balechayim need it. So it says in Mishnah Berurah, what does that mean, tzrichim ha-balechayim lekach? That means that the balechayim need it because it's Tzar Aleichayim. So the halacha has entirely changed from the simple reading of the Gemara. The Ran won the day. And we're going to see that the Mechaber paskens like the Ran Lishitaso in other places as well. And that is that what's going to come out is that Aleichayim you cannot move in all instances except for Tzar Aleichayim. What's behind it? Why? Why should Aleichayim be Mukta? So here there's nothing that's spelled out in the Rishonim or in the Gemara, but the Mishnah Berurah gives us the background behind it, and this creates, I think, partly the general rational gap that we have. In Sifkat and Kuf Mem Vav, the Mishnah Berurah says, Otsal Taltal, Dehem Bechlau Muktzah Kesim Vavonim. What's an animal for? An animal is for one of two things in the time of the Rishon. Now here's something where, mamish, society has changed dramatically in the last 60, 70 years. And that is, that even in the time of the Chafetz Chaim, what was the dog for? Either the dog was a guarding dog, or the dog helped you hunt, or we were talking about domesticated animal that had one purpose and one purpose only. What was that? For its food. The whole idea to my grandfather that my father would get attached to a chicken, that was entirely foreign. That was a function of North America, of American culture, that came about in the 1910s, 20s, and 30s. But for someone who grew up in the shtetl, no one was attached to. Even chicken sounds funny. That's to their poverty. But, okay. So that's what we have over here. Dehein b'chal muktzah kesim avonim. D'lo chazu! Rav Nevenstahl adds, but on Yom Tov, the halacha will be different. Maybe then you're allowed to be metalto the cow. Maybe the halacha will be different, because on the cow it is chazu. Because it's possible to shecht it on Yom Tov, maybe the halacha would be different. But this is the perspective of the Mishnah Berurah. Therefore, all animals today, with the exception of Tzar Bali Chaim, of course, is one of the more important makoros in terms of the significance of Tzar Bali Chaim la halacha, is that animals are muk. However, there's a big chiddush here at most times. And here, this is one of the cases that, like most things, Talmidim of Rav Soloveitchik say this all the time, and I wasn't zochet to know Rav Soloveitchik, but I've seen it now with my great Rebbe Rav Nevenstahl Shlita, is that the things in print is not the whole story. Things in print is not the whole story. One time I asked Rav Tuvia's father to tell me things, and he was too busy. But I'm still waiting. There are things that you get from Shimush that you don't get, and reading the books doesn't do the trick. So here, in Sif Lamites, the Reb Nevenstahl here is quoted as saying the following, and it's not entirely accurate. He says, Afilu balechayim ha'omdim lo shashua. He says, the simple reading, that's what you need to add, the simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch is that those pets that are pets are also muktzah, because there was nothing in the Mishnah Berurah that differentiated between the two. But what must have happened is the Talmud Chacham that was writing this down copied down what Rav Nevenstahl was saying in the simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Berurah. However, Rav Neventhal is reporting, he's not only told this to me, he's told this to other Talmidim as well, that he heard from him. He heard from Shlomo Zalman himself that today the halacha would change because the Mishnah Brura's Hagdara of Lo Chazu no longer applies. Why? For Haraya, my fourth nephew. Nowadays, people have dogs, and the dogs, they're treated as pets. They're shashuim, they're toys. Now, interestingly, there's one or two references already where we see Reb Shlomo Zalman heading in that direction. By far, this is the most explicit. In other words, Mipi HaShemua, it's not written down anywhere. By the way, I looked around in the Sfarim here. The Torah world is ready for a good tshuva on this. I haven't found someone really, someone is aware of a good tshuva on this topic. I'm not aware of anything dealing with the new phenomenon of pets today. It has to do with the fact that in Bnei Brak, I think, is less of the attitude than the attitude of my sister in Cleveland. But the reality is that there are many, many people who, of course, have pets as a tzatzuah. There is one, or even two, references where we see that Reb Shlomo Zalman is beginning to head in that direction. In the second to last photocopy that you have, in Ha'ara Samach Beis, you have Reb Shlomo Zalman saying the following. He says that when it comes to a seeing eye dog, now there's a famous tshuva for Moshe Feinstein about taking a seeing eye dog into shul. But it's interesting, Reb Moshe barely discusses muktza there. So Reb Shlomo Zalman says that you could view nowadays the seeing eye dog is not the Balei Chaim of Chazal, that the seeing eye dog is something that is used as a kli. And no one would say that the seeing eye dog, Reb Shlomo Zalman there says, is lo chazu. So you already see Reb Shlomo Zalman already going in the direction to say that things have changed vis-a-vis animals. Then the time of the Mishnah, that's interesting. Anybody know? In the time of Mishnah Brura, were there seeing eye dogs? Were blind people using dogs? That would be an interesting question. But that's not discussed in the Mishnah Brura. Again, things have really changed in the last 50, 60 years. And for that reason, Reb Shlomo Zalman says that it would be mutter. So hence, already see, if you will, that the closest we have to what we know Mipi HaShemua. And here's a case in the B'Yitzchak Yikare where part of Rav Neventhal's shir was written down, but not what he had heard from Reb Shlomo Zalman. Okay. There's another application of this, that we see Reb Shlomo Zalman changing, saying that the halacha changes in the continuing part of B'Yitzchak Yikare, where he says an aquarium. I think what he means when he says aquarium is not on the Atlantic Ocean, but what he's describing is that maybe it's in modern Hebrew, what we would call a fish tank, even a small fish tank.
In terms of seeing,
yes.
It seems like they only become even possible shortly after the Mishnah.
Wow, that's an important piece of information. That so you found that when that seeing eye dogs were only starting in the 30s or so.
Yeah,
so. 1935, and that's 2 years after, that's about two or three years of Mishnah Brura passed away, something around 31, 32, 33, 34. Yeah, Mishnah Brura was published before that, but Kal Vachomer. Okay, very good, alright, that works out well. A fish tank, Shiyej Bo Mayim Udgei Noi, that have water, and fish that are there, not because they taste good, but fish because they look good. Admor zal not allowed to metal to law that you're allowed to be metal to fish tank. So again, we see Reb Shlomo Zalman Zatzal changing based on the fact that the mitzius has changed, and therefore the halacha would possibly change as well. And that's what Reb Nevin Zal said. No. It's a good point. Next week we'll see why that's not correct. Okay, it's not because that there's simply heter with it, because there's water with it. Well, next week we'll see why that's not the pshat. That a fish tank is going to be mutter, that the fish, which is muksa, objectively a balei chaim that should be muksa, the halacha would be that it's going to be, that's going to be mutter.
So, it could be, the footnote here in the Shemir Shabbos Kil Chasa seems to imply that you can only pick up fish if the water's there. I'm not reading the whole thing.
Well, if there's no water, the fish are
going
to
die.
All right, let's. All right, Bli Neder, I owe you this for next week, okay? Remind me, I owe you for next week. Now, One more point that I want to make. Yes. There is one tshuva. This is the beauty of halacha. That we had argued, nobody had discussed this, and the Messiah has changed entirely. But because Chazal and the Gedolei Tanoim Amoraim and the Rishonim have been pounding away for 2,000 years on every single possible life circumstance, if you search and you search and you search and you search, and I chaval that I didn't copy it, there is a Makar in the Rishonim from 800 years ago that deals with this issue. The Ma'arach or Zeruah. Actually, Shmir Shabbos makes reference to it. The Ma'arach or Zeruah in Simin Pei Aleph. And I'm misufik how to read the Ma'arach or Zeruah. The Ma'arach or Zeruah talks about this. It's not true. I've been oversimplifying. I'm sure if there were pet enthusiasts, they would have said to me that, and they're right, that I was oversimplifying. The whole idea that pets are only 50 years old is an oversimplification. So, Ma'arach or Zeruah talks about some type of animal that was already used simply as a shashua. And the case is a canary. A canary, there we could bring rice from literature, right? In literature we have these
going back hundreds of years.
What's that? Yeah, for sure.
I mean, not about Jews, but
Even it would be important in culturally as well. They're definitely in literature. You have the idea of sailors with their parrots, etc., etc., etc. So says the Ma'arach or Zeruah the following. The Ma'arach or Zeruah says that the halacha is that this is different because you would be allowed to be metalkal in his cage, because he says it's not balechayim, because it's chazi. It has a purpose. People use it. From that part of the Ma'arach or Zeruah, that he says it's different than those things that are not chazi, this is chazui. Look up the Lashon Ma'arach or Zeruah, chaval that I didn't photocopy it. He says, from that Lashon, I would say you could infer Rav Shlomo Zalman's point. And that is the pesul. On the other end, the Ma'arach or Zeruah then concludes, we're following the following expression. He says, and he says, I'll prove it to you. He says, the halacha would be that if there was no gzeirah of Chazal, of Shema Yitak and Klishir, you'd be allowed to move an instrument. Why can't you move an instrument, says the Ma'arach or Zeruah on Shabbos? Because you can't play it. Why can't you play it? Shema Yitak and Klishir. What happens if Chazal were not concerned Shema Yitak and Klishir? Then of course you'd be able to move an instrument. Of course you'd be able to play an instrument on Shabbos. The instrument wouldn't be Muktza. Concludes the Ma'arach or Zeruah. The canary is an instrument. It plays beautiful music. That's what Ma'arach or Zeruah says. It plays beautiful music. Different type of instrument. Here again you see Rav Shlomo Zalman's type of approach of looking at it as a kli. That there are times the animal is looked at as a kli. Now, if you go with the seifa of the Ma'arach or Zeruah, so maybe it's not a raya to the idea that we like to hug our dogs and tussle with the dogs. On the other hand, if you look at the ratio of the Ma'arach or Zeruah, then he's saying that there were things that weren't chazuk, but now it's chazuk. So I'm mesupik, if you go through the Mineu Be'er Ma'arach or Zeruah in Simin Pei Aleph, whether you could come to a conclusion to say, that's a Makor in the Rishonim to be Matir, a pet dog today, for Tilfel, but either way, we have from Rav Shlomo Zalman the Heter, and so that would be a reason why the dogs would not be considered Muktza. I leave open the question, what about instances where it's not your pet? So then in such a case, it's not going to be partial. We will discuss, hopefully we'll get to at the end of the shiur, what happens if something is not muktzah to somebody else, because the owner, it's not muktzah for him, what's going to be the status for everybody else that normally would be muktzah for them? We're going to get to that in Mirz Hashem later on. So for example, I haven't discussed what happens if I'm visiting my sister's house, what's the halacha in terms of, it's not my pet. So am I allowed to play with the dog on Shabbos? That would be an interesting question. We haven't gotten to that. I want to go mehakal el akavi. So we've answered questions number one and number two. Because I crossed out number three, we gained. We already did number three as well. So, and that is, our animals look so wire or not? Does the halacha the friendship between a pet dog and a cow? The answer is absolutely, according to Rav Shlomo Zalman. What about seeing eye dogs? That also will be permissible.
Okay. You feel between picking it up or touching it?
Okay. So according to this, everything is mutter. If it's a pet, according to the Masorah that we have from Shlomo Zalman, then everything would be mutter. Okay? Now, we have the following shaila. What about an animal that's not a pet? I'm a little bit mesupak if Rav Shlomo Zalman's heter would apply to a Doberman Pinscher, a real guard dog. So what's the story with that animal? Now, there are people who have a close relationship with Doberman, you know, they'll pet them and so on, so that would be a different story. But either those animals that don't qualify, or someone who doesn't accept Rav Shlomo Zalman's heter, I want to share with you something else. That there might be another reason that one could take a dog out on Shabbos with a leash. Now, you guys are doing Hotzah. In Hilchos Hotzah, it'll be complicated in terms of, even if there isn't an Erev, every once in a while there are cases where it would still be mutter to hold onto a leash. And that I don't want to get involved with. That's not our topic right now. I want to talk about Hilchos Muktzah. Let's assume now that there is an error. So question number four is, if a particular animal is mukta, can walk the animal on a leash? So here again, Rav Neventhal has a ha'ara, and that ha'ara requires clarification. Miksaso says the following, two lines from the bottom on page Kuf Yud in the Mishnah Berurah, the Yitzchak Yikare. Will be a leash. We spoke about in detail tiltul min hatzad. Tiltul min hatzad, in the case of the Gemara, is the case where a person is pulling out an onion amongst dirt. The onion is not attached to the ground, but sitting amongst dirt. You're being metalful of dirt on the side. That's called tiltul min hatzad. It's mutter, that even though you're tangentially moving the muktzah. Says Rav Neventhal, you might be bothered. How could you move the leash? At the end of the day, the leash is around the collar, and the collar is around the neck, and the neck has hairs on it. So he says that would be not a problem because it's tiltul min hatzad. I just want to clarify, Rabbi Osai. This is a fascinating case of walking the dog. This is a key in the Gemara in Sota. I asked Rav Neventhal, are you allowed to pull the dog? The answer is no. If you hold the dog is muktzah, or in a case where the dog is muktzah, that's not called tiltul min hatzad. Even according to the Mishnah Berurah, that's not going to be called tiltul min hatzad. That will be called a direct tiltul. And in such a case, then all of the halachos in the Shulchan Aruch apply. That it would only be mutter b'makom tsar balechaim and so on. So here might be the following. Here's the Hagdara. In such a case, the famous Gemara in Sota says, Bikvasa de Meshicha, it's Pnei Hador ki Pnei Akelev, that the dog is really going to be leading, and the dog is pulling the master. So here in Shabbos, in a case of where a person would be allowed to walk a dog, but the dog is muktza, if the dog was muktza, let's say you didn't accept Rav Shlomo Zalman's heter, or it was the case of a guard dog where there's no relationship between the master and the dog. In such a case, then you would not be allowed to pull the dog. The dog would have to lead, with one exception. If you reach this case of Tsar Bali Chaim, if the dog is about to run to a place that would inflict damage, not the dog is going to embarrass you because he's going to run to the neighbor's lawn and bark, but if the dog would inflict damage to itself, so then in such a case, then the halacha would be that one would be allowed to pull it. But otherwise, you would have to let the dog lead, which gets complicated. Getting him back into the house would not be poshut, unless you could argue that would also be tzar balei chaim. To leave the dog out, that would qualify as tzar balei chaim. So maybe there's room to argue about that. But otherwise, it's a kiyum in the Gemara of Sota that the dog does the leading, and not us. Okay? That's right. If the dog is not muksa, then everything would be fine. If I'm not mistaken, that's how my sister is Noeg in Cleveland. I think that's according to Rav Shlomo Zalman. Okay. Number five. Let's take a look at Sif Membez. Can one move a muksa item along the ground? And can one move a muksa item by blowing? So Rabbos, I want to show you something gishmak, just in Svara. Take a look and see if Mem Beis says the Mechaber. Davar shehu muktza mutar ligabo. Something that's muktza you're allowed to touch. Ubelvad shelo yehem enanei afilu miktzaso. But with the condition that you don't move it at all. So this is the important rule that we've discussed in the past, that you're allowed to touch muktzah. There's no problem with touching muktzah. Moving muktzah is going to be a problem. Who's the Baal Memra? Take a look at the Baragola. Kuf, Haran! Yeah, the Ran conquered the world. The Ran came in, he elbowed everybody out. And what happened was, the Ran rejected Rashi, who said they're allowed to push things along the ground. So this is the Ran Lashitaso, where the Ran says that moving something along the ground is not going to be acceptable, and that's where the halacha came along. The halacha came along as even being metalsel, dragging along the ground is going to be usur. According to Rashi, there's a lot of proof that Rashi would hold that it would be mutter. However, in Shulchan Aruch, it's quite clear that we paskin like the Ran, and it'll be the Mechaber Lushitaso goes with the Ran and is machmir by Baal Echayim. By the way, it could very well be b'shas adchak. There's room to make a rashi. Say soldiers here in Arsenu Hakdosha and so on. If they need dogs v'chule. There is rashi. So there are poskim that there's room to be make with. So this is the case where the Shulchan Aruch follows the more stringent position and therefore is machmir to drag along the ground. So that's an exciting lishitaso in the mechaber himself. Can one move muksa item by blowing? So over here, you have in Sif Mem Gimel, Mutu Italta Muksa Yidei Neficha. That one is allowed to move Muksa through blowing. So I wanted to show you the source of this in the Beis Yosef and really rejoice with you something else. You know, when you're at the end of a Siman and you started the Siman with a Hakdama and so on and so forth, so then a lot of things come together are absolutely beautiful. So here the Shaila is moving Muksa items through blowing. This will come up every once in a while. You know, we discuss past peels and so on and so forth. If they're not graf shel ri'i, moving them is a whole big to do. So there would be a suggestion, it's not a very practical suggestion, but there would be a suggestion of moving it through blowing. Now what's the reason that blowing is mutter? So take a look at the Beis Yosef, and here is just everything works out conceptually in a beautiful way. Take a look at Sif Mem Gimel in the Beis Yosef and page Shin Yud Ches. That's the previous copies, right after the Gemara. Kasa b'tshuvas ma'aril. L'talto muktzal yidei neficha. To move muktzah through blowing. Afal gav dekosafti le'il, dekochol kigufo dami. Then moving with your koach is considered like your body itself. Mikol makom, ein nira lesar zeh. Blowing would not be prohibited. Tahacha talui bi'orche l'taltel. Kahai Gavna. The question is, how does a person normally move shells? V'tilkum in asad v'alidei shinu kilachayad shari ve'elecha kilachayad gadol mizeh. So what's the reason that moving through blowing is permissible? Because it's a shinu gamur. Rabotai, this is misameach, because this is a raya for Reb Shlomo Zalman Orbach in his defense of the Mishnah Brura against the Chazon Ish. You remember we had one of the most important machlokios in all of Hilchos Muktzah was, are you allowed to kick a davar muktzah? What was the example we gave a few weeks ago? The example we gave, I want to even repeat the exact same example. There's a laptop that a person left on the floor and you thought the kids weren't going to come inside, and sure enough the kids come inside the room and the laptop is, it's charging in the corner of your room. Are you allowed to kick the laptop under the bed? So we said that's the machlokas between the Chazon Ish and the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah says that you're allowed to kick it. That's called tiltul begufa. The Chazon Ish says, what are you talking about? There's no heter of tiltul begufa if you're doing it open yashir. If you're doing it directly, it's going to be aser. Comes along the Chazon Ish and he has a bomb raya. He says, oh, foot is not permissible. I'll bring you a raya from, was it Kuf Chav Zayin or Kuf Yud Zayin, one of the two, that there the Gemara says that a shoe which was broken, you're not allowed to move on your foot. So you see, moving with the foot is not an automatic heter. It's not that the heter is that the Isser of Tiltul is only with hands. You see from the Gemara, it's the same. It's the Beferish Gemara, you're not allowed to move with your foot. Comes along Reb Shlomo Zalman in his brilliant way, and he's Miyashev, it's Mamish Elu Ve'elu Divrei Elokim Chaim. Two different approaches. He says, that's not a Raya. Why? Because in that case, that's the normal way to move a shoe. It's urche bahachi. If it's urche bahachi, so then in such a case it's going to be usur. But that's not the normal way to move a laptop. It's not the normal way to move a laptop. You know, people don't normally don't move it with their feet. And since it's not the normal way to move it, it'll be mutter. So if that's so, then this Maharil is a beautiful raya. Zok the Maharil, Neficha is going to be mutter because it's not the derech tekach. And he goes out of the way to tell us that the nature of the heter of tilkul min atzad and so on is all based on the fact that it's not darko bekach. So this is a beautiful raya to Rav Shlomo Zalman's Yisod, and it's a beautiful defense of the Mishnah Berurah, and it's a defense of one of the biggest heterim in Hilchos Muktzah that exists, and that is that you're allowed to do directly tilkul min atzad and tilkul begufo, even if you're moving it directly. And the Yisod we see in the words of the Maharil, where the Maharil says, since blowing is not the normal way, it's going to be mutter. The truth is, the Baham Kasha and the Chazon Ish. All tables are turned. There was a time when the Chazon Ish was really, really dominating the game. Really dominating the game. The truth is, the Pashtus of the Gemara and Mishnah is like the Chazon Ish. Mishnayis and the Gemara, as we elucidated then, is really closer to the Chazon Ish. However, now the tables have really been turned. Because now it seems that according to the Maharil, that it's all about Orche B'Hachi. So the Chazon Ish will have an answer. Chazon Ish will say, there's a point in where it's no longer called tiltal anymore. It's no longer called tiltal when you're blowing. So even though directly you're not allowed to move something, that's with your body. But if you're no longer using your body at all, you're using a force that was created by your body, so then in such a case, even the Chazon Ish will be moda. But I'd like to point out, if you read the Maharil inside, as quoted by the Beis Yosef, it seems like Rav Shlomo Zalman's Hagdara, not like the Chazon Ish's Hagdara. On this we say, Elu Ve'elu Divrei Elokim Chaim, and I think that after a few weeks of coming back and forth to these inyanim, we really come away with certain clarity, and it's nice to see that the Mishnah Berurah was really in dire straits. The Chazon Ish, when he got through the Mishnah Berurah, it almost seemed like the game was over, but now we see we've turned the tables, and the Mishnah Berurah has a beautiful, beautiful defense. Okay, new topic, number 6, balls. A baseball, a basketball, a puck. Are balls muktzah? Is there a difference of opinion between the Mechaber and Ramah? Here I want to share with you also something quite exciting. I mentioned to you already last week that the tradition in my family always was that we used to play ball on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So I start out. We didn't play ball in our sneakers and our shorts. We played ball in our Shabbos shoes and so on. But we did play ball. My father was a quote unquote simple Baal Bas, but someone who learned in the yeshivas and also who has a great sensibility of the chule, so he never told us not to play ball. And I raised my children. I even played ball with my children on Shabbos. But we have to go through this. We have to go through the sugya. We have to be honest with ourselves. So here there's a fascinating machlokas. Says the Mechaber in Sif Memhei, also lischok b'Shabbos v'yom tov b'kadur. It's prohibited to play on Shabbos with the ball. Says the Ramah, v'yesh matzirim v'nogu l'hakel. Shoes. So here it's convenient for us to be Ashkenazim. I joked in our night kolal. I said, so now we understand why all the Sephardic boys want to get into Ashkenazic yeshivas, right? But the real reason is because we've been awful to our Sephardic brethren. That's the real reason. But anyhow, but for this reason, it's convenient to be Ashkenazi. Yesh matirim v'nogu l'hakel. What's behind this machlokes? And the chura, at first glance, does this halacha apply today for Sephardim? So I'll give you a reference. Rabbi Tzion Abishol in Tshuva, the Dirshu quotes, I don't have the exact number Tshuva in front of me. The Rabbi Tzion Abishol comes down and says Sephardim cannot play ball in Shabbos. That's what he comes out. It's a simple reading of the Mechaber. However, if you read the Mishnah Berurah, you'll actually get confused. I think the Mishnah Berurah is almost, the diukim are so sir each other. So let's leave the Mishnah Berurah, okay? Because you work on the Mishnah, words of the Mishnah Berurah, I'm the supah, what the Mishnah Berurah's kavana is. But let's go to the poskim, the later poskim, and then go back to the Makoros themselves, okay? We have a luxury, and when we don't start with the sugyas, is that we could start with the later poskim, and then I want to be medayek from the kalmonim. Be medayek. Okay. So Rav Shlomo Zalman here was Mekel. We have a lot of coolest today from Rav Shlomo Zalman. Bikadur, says Rav Nevinzal, Admor Zal, Matir Kadurim, Didan, Afilu Lesvardim. That today, Rav Shlomo Zalman disagreed with Rav Ben-Tzion Abishol, and he says, Kadurim are mutter even for Svardim. Hol umuyutzarim kekelim maisa uman. And he gives a very, very simple svara. The svara is the following. The svara is that in the time of Chazal, as we're going to see, though a ball was what? By the way, can anybody think of the crazy example in Chazal of a ball? Of what, how kids used to play soccer? You'll know in a second what I'm referring to when I say it. Chicken head, right? That's a chicken head. So, no one is going to say that that was a keli that's ro'ui l'kach, right? So it wasn't the kli. What happened? My grandfather slaughtered the chicken, and if my father wasn't too attached, so then he took the head and he played with it in a ball. Okay, that much they didn't do. My father did say that they had hard. They did play baseball with a hard ball. So, but it's a different world. My father said that he was a religious kid, and he played. His best friends were Gentiles. He went to school with Goyim. Then my father says that his best experience, Beryl Wine writes about this. It's so funny. My father and Rabbi Beryl Wine are a couple years apart. They both went, I don't know what to call it, Skokie or Ida Crown. Ida Crown and Skokie, once upon a time, same yeshiva. And what's amazing is my father told me this all the time when I was a child. But they were really essentially one yeshiva. It was essentially one, from what I understand, was really, really one yeshiva. My father was there in the early 50s, right about a little bit before, about the same time as Rabbi Wein. I think they're... So what they had was, from what my father described, was they learned in Beis Medrash LaTorah, which eventually became Skoki, right? And they did secular studies in Ida Crown. And in the morning, they learned the yeshiva. The afternoon was secular studies, boys and girls together. But that's not, I'm not talking about now boys and girls together, that's a separate topic. What I do want to talk about was what my father described the following phenomenon. He said that he went to yeshiva with the sons of Hasidish Rebbes, with the sons of Litzvish Rashi yeshivas, with the sons of people who weren't religious at all. Everybody was together in the same class. Everybody. The entire... Now it was the Chicago community. My father was coming from Vancouver. But everybody was together in the same class. The whole idea of not going to yeshiva just because someone is not of the same level of religious observance was foreign to him. It was entirely foreign to him. And Rabbi Wein wrote, years later, I saw that in the OU magazine, what is it called, Jewish Action, that Rabbi Wein wrote exactly that article about how beautiful it was that they were all under the same roof, all in the same yeshiva together. Now, Zarlin Yonenu, a ball in the time of Chazal was something that wasn't Roy Vakach. What's the machlokes? Says Rav Shlomo Zalman. The machlokes between the Mechaber and the Ramo is the following. If you have a ball which is not Ra'ui, does the fact that children and possibly adults play with it turn the ball into a kli? Or do you say that it's not a kli? Is playing with the ball turning into a kli? That's the machlokes. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman, but today, where it's not eitzim v'avonim, it's not the leftover chicken heads, but rather what is it? It's a ball that's fashioned in a factory, a rolling, a clincher, etc. So then in such a case, halacha is going to be different. That's Rav Shlomo Zalman's argument. Rabotai, while Rav Gidon asks his question, let's turn to the words of the Beis Yosef himself. You tell me what it sounds like to you in the Beis Yosef. Let's take a look at Sif Mem. Hey, I'm indebted to Mr. Yu Torah, to Rabbi Rob Shor, for pointing this out. In Sifkat Mem Hey, he made a nice point, and I think it's valid. Yes, Rabbi Gidlon, what do you want to say? According to Rabbi Shlomo Zalman's logic,
yes. If the mechaber is only to you match to them something that doesn't work,
right?
Then it doesn't work for pets.
Wait, so there might be a difference between the two. It might be different. Yeah, I hear what you're saying. So you're asking almost that there's a stira. There's a stira in the, you're asking, according to Pesachim Rav Shlomo Zalman, L'chura, one of the two things don't add up. Rav Gidon's asking like this. He's asking that in the second stock we have over here, according to Rav Shlomo Zalman, but in Rav Shlomo Zalman it's going to be a problem. That over here we have something that is not objectively a kli and should be muktza. The fact that people use it doesn't change its status. So he's saying the same thing should apply in terms of an animal. That an animal, just because people decide to use it as a toy, that should be different. Right, but he's asking the mechaber. Very good. He's asking the mechaber. Give me a minute. Just a second. I think Rav Shlomo Zalman is thinking like this. And remember, he started with the seeing eye dog. That's what we have in Kaviyachal in writing from the Shmir Shabbos. He's saying that the seeing eye dog, its status has changed today. It's considered a kli, right? The ball, that's just a rock. Let's say kids in those days, there were kids who played mamish with rocks. Not to throw at buses. But they played with rocks. So then in such a case, the fact that the child decided to elevate it as something that's to be used, that's not enough for it to change its status vis-a-vis mitzvah. In contrast, so when it comes to the dog, the argument is that a dog is entirely different mitzvah today. Just like the whole idea that a seeing eye dog it becomes a kli, that dogs today are a totally different entity. It's a new barrier. That's why I think the argument is that dogs are a new barrier. The nafkamin will be my father with the chicken. In other words, if a child decides to adopt a chicken, but that's not normal, that's not regular, so then maybe an echanan will stay muktzah. But if the whole argument is, and the truth is that the dogs that are, my sister explained to me a little bit, the dogs that are now used, pets today, are bred in very, very specific ways. Most of those dogs didn't even exist 70, 80 years ago. There were very specific types that were taken and chosen to be bred, and those were the ones that became popular as pet dogs today. So I think that's the terrorist for Shlomo Zalman. But it's a nice question. Okay. Let's take a look. Sifkat Memhei. Says the Beis Yosef. Now you tell me, when you read the Beis Yosef, do you hear Rav Shlomo Zalman's Hezber or not? Listen to this. Kosav Ba'ogur B'Shem Shiboli Aleket. It's prohibited to play with a ball that can't even be used. No, you could hear. I joked. I hope this is okay to joke. I joked that the kids would call the auger an ogre, right? So what does he say? You could hear this ogre saying the following. He's saying, what's this ball? Has no purpose. It's dirty. You can't even use it. What's Chazal's expression? They use a shtar to stuff up a vase, a pitcher. It can't even be used for that. What shavius does it have? That's what the ogre is saying. The kids are bringing the dirt inside the house. Should be prohibited. Fascinating Tosfos. Tosfos and Beit is a revolutionary, right? Yeah, the Tosfos also is very, very important for us in dancing on Shabbos, right? Tosfos has a few important heterim in Beit. So you guys know that the different Masechtos were written by different Baalei Tosfos, right?
Ephraim Orbach has an excellent book. I always say to myself before I start the next Masechta, I got to pull out Orbach's book to check which are the Bali Tosos that are in our Masechta. It's relevant, you know, when the Rajba is being cholik on Tosos, to know who he's being cholik on. Not only are you allowed to take a child out from Mila, even to carry out the child for a tiyul is going to be much, we won't talk about Hotsah now. The Ashkechon de Misachkin Bekadur. Shekorin pilota biyomte firushus harabim. We find, says the Bali, tells us that people play ball in the rishus harabim. Afagav delek el a tiyul, even though it's only a tiyul. Rabosai, the machlokis over here. What's obvious is Tosa says creation is enough to transform something that you would have thought to be muktzah to be no longer muktzah. Recreation is enough to do that. And what does the Agur hold? The Agur holds that you can't. How is the Beis Yosef framing this machlokas? The Beis Yosef is framing the machlokas about whether something that's used as recreation is enough to transform it into a kli. Because the Agur argues what type of purpose it has. It's true, people kick it around. But at the end of the day, is it called a kli? Is that called a kli? So what's the simple shot over here? The simple reading is actually, I think Rav Simcha Shor made this point, I think he's correct. The simple reading over here is that the Agur is being machmir, even if it was something that was wrought lilakach. His whole argument is, I don't care if it was a beautifully flat fashioned ball. I don't care if it's a clincher or a Rawlings. At the end of the day, that has no purpose. It doesn't serve anything practical. And according to the Agur, recreation is not something that turns into a kli. While the opinion of the Bali Tosfos is that it does. If you have this reading, Rabosai, what does come out is a big chumrah against Rav Shlomo Zalman. And as for Sfardin, then you wouldn't be allowed to play with the ball. The simple reading of the Agur is that way. On the other hand, Rav Shlomo Zalman was Mekel, so there are many, definitely many posts from Mekel. I did see, and actually in terms of learning, I'm very, very impressed with the Svarmi. I encourage you to use it. In terms of Psak, obviously it has a very strong bias, but in one of today's posts that really take apart the Sugi very, very well, particularly in Ilchos Shabbos, is Rav Nissim Karelis. In Sefer Chutz Shani, so he makes these points. He makes this point. He points out that the pashtus of the Beis Yosef is that it would be problematic. Right, there was more I had wanted to do. We have about 6 or 7 minutes. Okay, let's try. Next, the Mishnah Berurah brings up a totally tangential issue, but because there were some surprises here for me in the Halach Lamaisa, I want to share with you, even though I'm breaking my rule and not discuss and going outside of Mukta itself, but since the Mishnah Berurah brings it up here, and these are very common issues that come up. Number 7, can one play soccer on the grass if the ball is not Mukta? So let's assume for a moment ball is not Mukta. What's the halach about playing soccer on the grass? So let's take a look at the Mishnah Berurah in 2 lines from the bottom in Sif Katam Kuf Nun Ches. In my edition, it's 2 lines from the bottom. B'chol zeh kishesocheik shelo agabi karka. It is permissible, according to Ramah, to play with a ball, as long as you're not playing on the ground. Aval gabi karka l'kulei alma hasar mishum chshash shvuyei gumos. Kilo kamo misimin shin la meches lin schikas egozim. There, take a look in shin la meches, halacha is that you're not allowed to play nuts on the ground. By the way, that was very, very common in Europe. My mother tried to keep as much as that she could from Europe. So we used to play this game on Yom Tov. There's a special game. There are Hasidim that do it to this day, that they play with nuts. Basically, it's just bowling. Oh, you know too? Oh, wow. That makes you a Hasidah Shiit. Not the payas. So whether you play nuts on Yom Tov, that's a Hasidah Shiit. Yeah, what they call Kugelach, right? But anyhow, so we used to play, it's basically, it's great, we have the same rules. Oh, we can play together. So, So,
Tanim and Gedolim,
though. As a noun, no. As a noun. Now we're talking about Gedolim. Ktanim. By the way, Ktanim, I always like to say the biggest machlokas between the Hasidic and the Litvisher world is not all the things that people think. That the biggest machlokas is children on Shabbat. In the past, I've done 3 or 4 shiurim on it. Children on Shabbos is fascinating. There's a lot of different traditions about what you're allowed to have children do on Shabbos, what you're not allowed to do. We did it last year. So, and we know that we won't do it again this year, but it's online if you'd like to go through it. So in regards to Ashvuye Gumos, so here the halacha is that when it comes to nuts, there's a problem with Ashvuye Gumos. Now, I have a little bit of a suffix. What exactly was the chash of Lashvuye Gumos over there? Was it that they used to clear out the ground to be able to play nuts? Or that in the process you're going to make a hole? The Mishnah Berurah seems to be understanding that we're afraid that you're going to come to make a hole. That's what the Mishnah Berurah seems. Now, I understand for baseball, because especially those of us who like to dig their back foot into the batter's box, so maybe there is a... There's a chash. I know I spent a large time in my youth trying to imitate Ricky Henderson's batting stance. Anybody know what I'm talking about? No. Okay. So, Ricky Henderson had an amazing batting stance. No one knows what I'm talking about? You don't have the bat in the right position, but that's okay. So anyhow, so the bat, not only that was he low, his bat used to also hang. He used to hang back. So baseball should be a problem. What about, the Mishnah Berurah doesn't differentiate. The Mishnah Berurah seems to say that all of them are a problem, even soccer. Even soccer, he seems to say, is a problem. Now here, Rav Zimmerman mentioned, you should know, Rav Zimmerman, he brings up the women and children. The Mishnah Berurah concludes, when we call Mokom em limchos benoshim ektanim, the mutav shiyu shogin v'alyum mizidim, that's a very, very important sugya, mutav shiyu shogin v'alyum mizidim, he says, if the kids aren't going to listen, then don't tell them in the first place. Tov. So, but the Mishnah Berurah seems to say everything. Which means, Rabbosai, l'chura, what emerges is that playing soccer on grass would be a shaila today. I have to tell you that I really never processed this. As I was learning it now with you, I realized that's much more of a shaila than I had thought. Even where, because I had done a sort of thought it through, and I thought there definitely wasn't a psik ratio of Lashvuye Gumos, but nevertheless, a simple reading of the Mishnah Berurah is going to be a problem. However, you could even go further, and there might even be room to be machmir even on the ground. In other words, on a cement, or in the house, maybe it's going to be usher. Why? Because halacha is, in Shin Lamiches, to usher the karka, usher merutsefes, usher shena merutsefes. So there's a halacha that says that you're not allowed to play the nut game even on the floors. Moshe and I did it. The answer is that here Rav Nemetzel says you could be mikko. He says because in most areas, just a second, in most areas today we have cement and we have floors, parquet floors, Boston Garden, Vichule. So then in such a case, there's not going to be a problem. The same halacha in regards to sweeping. Right. So bottom line is, soccer, I don't know the heter to play soccer on grass. But soccer could be played on cement. We did not get to questions number 8 and 9. Be'ezer Hashem, we will continue next week with that. Rabbi Zimmerman had asked me that to give you a heads up of what we're doing beforehand. Next week, I am planning Be'ezer Hashem to do all of Simin Shin tests, God willing. And then we have another 3 weeks. I want to do buses, want to do wallets. There are a lot of hashlachos wallets. We have to get Rav Soloveitchik, got a beautiful shiur on that. And then we have to, there's one more thing I want to get with you, your candles and candlesticks. And the Be'ezer Hashem, we're done, and we have to have a vote of what we're going to continue with. Be'ezer Hashem, after.